Good morning. I understand why there's so much chat this morning, because just about everybody, the person sitting next to you, it's probably their birthday today. There are so many in our church family who have a birthday today, we're not quite sure what went on February the 5th, but we know what the results of it were. Our chairman suggested that we do the birthday box today as a one-off special. He says we could get some pretty serious coin in. Great to see everyone here. It's great to be in the house of the Lord on the Lord's Day, and it's great to be together with our church family. A warm welcome to everyone. Just a pleasant note. Yesterday we had Megan Helm's wedding. She married her sweetheart, Justin Gill, and everything went very smoothly. They had a beautiful day, and she looked beautiful. She looked radiant, absolutely beautiful, and that was excellent. So I just thought I'd pass that on to you. I shall now pass on to you, Laurie. Thank you.
One or the other. There we go. Announcements for this morning. Food donations, non-perishable, can be placed in the tub in the foyer to be used to help local families. Church membership. If you are interested in becoming a member of our church, please speak to Pastor Ian or to one of the elders. At our anniversary service this month, we'll be receiving new members and transferring memberships into our church family. The Ladies Christian Fellowship will meet on February 9th at 2 p.m. Our church photo family photo display is being looked after by Wilma, Laurie, Diane, and Corrine, and they're presently taking on this task of updating our display. They have copies of the photos from the church directory to use. However, if you would like an alternate picture, please talk to them by 4 days ago, February 1st, or probably today would be fine too. And I need to talk to you about that. Don't let me forget. I've been forgetting for 3 weeks now. Saturday, February 11th at 7 p.m. will be our dessert theater production, and that's in lieu of the adult themed supper. It's going to be wonderful. They've been practicing since the new year, and I've sat through one of the read-throughs, and it's really, really good. So plan to attend. There is a sign-up sheet in the foyer, and you could sign up either to bring a dessert or if you wish to make a donation at the door. They're just trying to get an idea of how many desserts, extra desserts they might need. So if you could do that, it'd be much appreciated. Our anniversary of our church is February 19th, so we'll have our anniversary Sunday that day. Shrove Tuesday Pancake Supper is February 21st, 5 to 7 p.m. Are there any other announcements this morning? Great.
Thanks, Laurie. I think Laurie whipped through that batch of announcements brilliantly. Thank you so much. So what was it you couldn't remember for 3 days? You can't remember.
To talk to them about the picture, because the one we had here doesn't have Avery in it, so I want to use an alternate picture, and I keep forgetting.
Excellent. We worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. We come now before his presence in silence. In Psalm 147, we read, "Shout praises to the Lord. Our God is kind, and it is right and good to sing praise to him." So we will sing praise to him at the guidance of Elmer and Marian with our approach choruses. Thank you.
Yes, good morning. Our first song this morning is "Jesus Loves Even Me," and we'll sing all three verses. Yeah. I am so glad that our Father in heaven tells of his love in the book he has given. Wonderful things in the Bible I see. this is the dearest that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. Though I forget him and wander away, still he doth love me wherever I stray. Back to his dear loving arms would I slip, and not remember that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. So glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. Oh, if there's only one song I can sing, then in his beauty I see the great King. And now my song in eternity be. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. Our next song is number 508. We'll sing just the first and the last verses. Prepare us for the service. We'll sing 425. In the garden.
I hear, oh, I know. Thank you.
And we thank you, Elmer and Marion. Beautiful. Did you hear Elmer's sweet harmonies coming in there? She was leading our singing. Just beautiful. Excellent. Thank you. Let us bow our heads and join together in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, our gracious Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that you have given to each of us this great privilege, this wonderful joy of coming together as a church family, coming together as your family, Lord, in this your house on this your day. And as we meet together, Lord, we meet in the sure knowledge that you are right here with us, that you promised that when we gather in your name, there you will be in our midst. And we thank you for that, Lord, and we look to the fulfillment of that promise, and we ask you, Father, to touch each and every life here today. Open our hearts, open our minds, Lord, and speak to each and every one of us. And we pray, Father, whilst we are here, as we seek to lift high the name of Jesus, as we seek to bring honour and glory to the name, the wonderful name which is above every name, we pray, Lord, that you will accept the praise that we bring. We worship you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And we pray as Jesus taught us to pray, as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Our Old Testament reading is Isaiah 40, 21 through 31, Those Who Wait on the Lord. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood since the earth was founded? He sits enthroned above the circle of the earth, and its people are like grasshoppers. He stretches out the heavens like a canopy and spreads them out like a tent to live in. He brings princes to naught and reduces the rulers of this world to nothing. No sooner are they planted, no sooner are they sown, no sooner do they take root in the ground. Then he blows on them and they wither, and a whirlwind sweeps them away like chaff. To whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls forth each of them by name because of his great power and mighty strength. Not one of them is missing. Why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel? My way is hidden from the Lord. My cause is disregarded by my God. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Our responsive reading is taken from Psalm 147, 2 through 11. There we go. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the exiles of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. The Lord sustains the humble, but casts the wicked to the ground.
Sing to the Lord with grateful praise, and he uses your God on the armor.
He covers the sky with clouds, he supplies the earth with rain, and makes grass grow on the hills.
He provides food for the cattle, and the young man uses his bottle. His pleasure is not constrained.
The Lord delights in those who fear him, who put their hope in his unfailing love.
Now it's a great joy for us to have our special music, and presenting our special music this morning we have Blake Reed and family. They're such a talented family that we never know how many are going to turn up here, but here they come. Here are the talented ones.
Just as talented, but maybe a little bit more nervous. So. The song that we're going to do this morning is one that when I was Ashley and Reagan's age, I would hum along with my grandparents, and it's called I'll Fly Away.
So bad.
Thank you. Thank you. Where'd she go? Well, there she is. What a great job that was, eh? Some old time gospel. My word, didn't you want to stand up and start clapping your hands? That was excellent, thank you. And did you see Blake there? Did you see the pride in his face as he looked down as his daughter's there? And oh, that was just excellent, thank you so very, very much. What are we doing now? Oh yes, your gifts for the work of God in this church and throughout the world will now be received. Thank you. Gracious Lord, Heavenly Father, we are ever thankful for your great goodness to us. And so we come to you now, Lord, and we bring these our gifts. They are but humble tokens of our gratitude. But we ask you, Lord, to take these gifts, and we ask you to take the givers, for we dedicate them all to the extension of your kingdom here on earth. For Jesus' sake. Amen. The children would like to come and join me, please.
Elma, Mrs. Bird, Elma Bird. Earlier on this week, she was away, and we were trying to find her, and we're all saying, where's Elma? Where is she? We're trying to track her down, but she came back. And I only tell you that because does anyone remember some books from a few years back called Where's Waldo? Yep. You brung that today, did you? That's good. So, who was Waldo? Yeah. That's right. Elmo was a guy who was in every picture. And I think Grant's got a picture of Elmo for us somewhere. There he is. That's him. Waldo. What was that saying, Elmer? That's not Elmer. That's Waldo. And he was in a picture, and it was a multicoloured picture. It was usually a fairground seaside scene, and everybody wore coloured things. And this guy was in there somewhere. He always wore that red striped, red and white striped shirt. And he wore the hat, the ski hat, and his glasses. And he usually had a cane, that's right. And you had to find him in the picture. He looks as though he would be pretty easy to find, doesn't he? Well, let's just have a quick look at a Waldo picture. Can you see him?
Yes.
Oh, who said yes? You can see him, can you? Here, it's this picture here. He's hard to find, isn't he? Oh, is he? You may be disappointed. We'll show you where he is in a little while, okay? Now, the problem is he's always mixed in amongst all of these colourful people, and it's hard to find him. I'm going to give you another one. I'm going to give you an easy one this time. Find Waldo in this one. Do you see him? Can you see him? Look just beneath the aeroplane. There he is. So that's him. That's Waldo. We found him there. Now then, if you were wondering where he was on the other picture that I showed you, on this picture, did anybody find him?
Yes.
Okay, there he is. There's Grant showing us right there now. He's right behind some people there. Difficult to find. Difficult to find Waldo. There were lots of occasions when people used to say, "Where's Jesus?" Because sometimes Jesus would disappear. Not magically, he would just go off somewhere on his own. And every time he went off on his own, people were always looking for Jesus. They always wanted to find him because Jesus had something that they needed. Now then, what do you think that might be? What do you think Jesus had that all these people needed? What do you think it was?
Food.
Well, he did feed people, you're right. He did feed people. Love? He had lots of love to give to people. He had the power to heal people. That's right. And all these things are wrapped around in love. But he had the power to forgive people. And people wanted to be forgiven of the lives that they had lived. Now then, I've got a little portion of scripture here. This is from our scripture reading today. Listen to this. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went to a solitary place where he prayed. Where he prayed. Jesus used to go off to pray to his Father. And then it says, Simon and his companions went to look for him. And when they found him, they explained, "Everyone is looking for you. Everyone is looking for you." And so everyone was looking for Jesus. Sometimes we try to look for Waldo, but better to find Jesus. And today, people still look for Jesus. People still look for Jesus. And we've got to be prepared to help them to find him. Where can they find Jesus? Anyone? Who's going to tell me? In your hearts, that's a good answer. Yep.
In heaven.
Jesus is in heaven, but more importantly, he's not only in heaven with the Holy Spirit, he's in our hearts, he's with us, he's all around us. So how can we direct other people to find him? Oh, what a good idea. In the Bible. And we could invite people to come to
church.
Good idea. And we can tell people about Jesus. That's what Jesus' disciples did. They told people about Jesus. So we've got to remember that people still search for Jesus. Okay? And we've got to be prepared when we can to help them find Jesus. So shall we just say a little prayer together? Dear Father, many people today are searching for Jesus. We pray that today will be the day that they find him. We pray in his name. Amen.
Okay.
In our Old Testament reading from Isaiah, Isaiah reminded the people that this world was created by God. And he pointed them in the direction of the heavens and the stars and the beauty of everything that God created. Everything's in its right place at the right time. And that was reiterated in the Psalms that David wrote. He also reminded people to look around them and see God's presence. And we continue to do that as we stand and sing to God's glory. Our next hymn, number 58, This Is My Father's World. Come to our time of prayer. And sometimes I think when we hear about the many, many people who are in need of our prayers, sometimes it kind of feels overwhelming. And I am glad that we can lean on that verse from Romans chapter 8 and verse 26 where it says, when you're kind of feeling overwhelmed by the circumstances or the quantity of people who you need to be praying for, the Spirit of God takes the prayers from our hearts and delivers them right to the throne of grace. And I'm sure we're all so thankful of that because there are so many people. At the wedding yesterday, Sandra Helm's dad wasn't able to be there because he's in hospital fighting cancer. And he had a bleeding of the esophagus and he was having radiation treatments and between the wedding and the reception, the bride and groom went to the hospital to see him. That was such a nice touch. And, you know, you can imagine how Sandra felt, you know, trying to rejoice in the day that they were having, and her mind would have been so much focused on what was happening with her dad. Bob Tribe's in hospital again up in Red Deer, Muriel's friend, and he's fighting for every breath that he takes. Joyce's doctor is continually having a battle with the problems that she's having with lungs and what have you. And you know, and it goes on. There's so many. Trying to think of all the people that we have in our church family related to us in some way or other. And I'm thankful that the Spirit takes what sits on our hearts and presents it right before the throne of grace. So thankful for that. Let us bow our heads and join together in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, Lord of our lives, by your great will and power you have created and sustained the vast and unfathomable universe. And there in the very midst of all of this greatness and splendor, you have placed us. And by your grace you have called us to serve you, to be your people. In your love and in your mercy you have chosen us and laid hold on us to be your light in the dark places. Teach us, O Lord, your ways. Help us, Father, each day to turn aside and to listen to you, to study your word, to pray to you, that we might live as your people and give freely of ourselves all that we are and all that we have in obedience to your will. For we know, Father, that if we do these things, we know that we will have strength and hope and peace and joy. For these are your promised gifts to your children who wait upon you. Lord, you are the giver of life, and so in the midst of our increasingly busy lives, we are thankful that we can celebrate your peace when we pause from the hurry and when we wait upon you. We are thankful, Lord, for your promise that those who wait upon the Lord shall indeed renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and never be weary. It sounds so good, Lord. We pray that you will inspire us to soar like eagles as we seek to lift high the glorious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus. And may we never be weary of holding out the hand of friendship to all whom we meet. Heavenly Father, so many people are sick and in need. And we pray for them, Father. We pray for them as we pray for ourselves. We pray for those who are sick, and we pray for those who care for them. We pray for those who are filled with dread and anxiety, and for those who carry the word of courage and faith to them. We think of those who are sorrowful and those who are bereaved. We pray for those who suffer chronic pain or frailty, for those who are exhausted by the demands of work or caring for others. O Lord, our strength and our comforter, we hold within our hearts so many whose names we whisper as we pray. And so, Lord, we pray for the concerns and for these individuals as we lift them up to you now, Lord, in prayer. We praise you again, Holy Father, for this our church home, for this our church family. We thank you for the joy and for the fellowship that we find in this place. And we pray that we may be your faithful disciples as we seek to invite others to come and see and to share in this your glory. Holy Father, bless our homes, bless our families, And we ask you to grant us your peace and your protection in the week that lies ahead. We pray in the name which is above all other names. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. And we listen now to the word of the Lord.
Morning, everyone. The gospel is from Mark 1, 29 to 39. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they immediately told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. That evening after the sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. And the gospel is from 1 Corinthians 9, verses 15 to 23. "For when I preach the gospel, I cannot boast, since I am compelled to preach. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. If I preach voluntarily, I have a reward. If not voluntarily, I am simply discharging the trust committed to me. What then is my reward? Just this, that in preaching the gospel, I may offer it free of charge, and so not make full use of my rights as a preacher of the gospel. Though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone, to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I became like a Jew, to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak, to win the weak. I have become all things to all people, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings."
Thanks to Al for those readings from the scriptures, particularly that one from the epistle from Corinthians, because it's quite a complicated piece of scripture, that, and the way Alan read it was beautiful, just so beautifully explained and read. Thank you. And now we stand again and we sing once again to God's glory. The hymn number 59, "I Sing the Mighty Power of God."
Jesus abroad, and build the lofty
Would you pray with me, please? And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be perfectly acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. There are lots of people who memorize verses of Scripture. Who memorizes verses of Scripture? One, two, three. Oh, come on, come. Great. Great. And these words that we have here, wait upon the Lord, are famous words from the prophet Isaiah from chapter 40 and verse 31. These are words of great inspiration and comfort to many people, and especially to people when they're going through a pretty rough time in their lives, when it's tough to deal with life. The verse from Isaiah says this: "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They will mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." And this is the way that most people actually remember this verse: wait on the Lord. But what is interesting is that this is how the old King James Version of the Bible records it. This is old scripture. This is old original King James, first written in the 1600s. And yet this is the way that we remember it. These are words of hope for a bright future. Words intended to lift and inspire people, to lift their spirits, give them something hopeful to look forward to. So what, I wonder, motivated the prophet Isaiah to speak these words? When you see these words, "wait on the Lord," what comes to your mind? What do you think of? What do you think the scripture is saying to you? The obvious meaning would seem to be wait, as in patiently await the passing of time. If you are patient, eventually God will come through and answer your prayer. Is that right? Is that the way we tend to think of these words? Wait on the Lord. Be patient. I also believe that this is true. God does want us to be patient. He wants us to trust in Him, in His works, in His mysterious ways as He performs His wonders. But when Isaiah speaks these words, he may mean something more than this. The Hebrew word that Isaiah uses, that was commonly translated as wait, is kuvah. Kuvah. And it didn't really carry the meaning of hanging around and waiting for something to happen. That might sound a bit boring, you know, just hanging around and waiting. Its meaning is more along the lines of a twisting and a binding together. You know, think of a rope. You know when a rope is all twisted and bound together and strong? Kuvah means more along those lines. So Isaiah's meaning will be more like those who bind themselves to the will of God will renew their strength. Not just those who are hanging around waiting. Those who bind themselves to the will of God will renew their strength. Think of the word wait as it forms part of the word waiter or waitress. What does the job of a waiter entail? Well, they serve you. The waiter prepares to serve you. They seek your will. They execute your will to your satisfaction. And this is more along the lines of what Isaiah is saying when he says, "Wait on the Lord. Prepare to serve the Lord. Seek His will. Execute the will of the Lord to His satisfaction in your life." And if the waiter does all of this to your satisfaction, well, the waiter usually is rewarded with a tip. He's rewarded with a tip. Think what kind of a tip that the Lord will give to you if you wait upon Him in this way. Think what a tip He will give you. So why did Isaiah say this? The book of Isaiah has been likened to a little Bible in its own right, although it in itself is only one book of the Bible, one of 66 books in the Bible. But the book of Isaiah is divided into two parts. The first 39 chapters deal with impending judgment on the Jewish people, and the second part deals with forgiveness and deliverance. The first 39 chapters deal with sin, but the second part, the 27 chapters forming the second part, deal with a saviour. A saviour. Talk about a Messiah coming. Did you do the math? Did you add them together? If we do a Isaiah and Bible comparison, we will see that Isaiah has 66 chapters. The Bible has 66 books. Part 1 of Isaiah has 39 chapters dealing with sin and punishment. The Old Testament of the Bible has 39 books dealing with the sins and the punishment of the Israelite people. Isaiah part 2 has 27 chapters. And they speak about a saviour, a Messiah, who will come out of the Israelite people. The New Testament has 27 books. And they tell of the saviour of the world. They tell of the Messiah who came out of the people of Israel. The first 39 chapters of the book of Isaiah are pretty heavy going. They deal with God's warnings to the Israelite people of the destruction of their nation. Because of their abandonment of God, they had turned their backs on God, and he warned them, if you continue in these ways, God will turn his back upon you. But Isaiah part 2 is different. Time has now moved on. The Jewish people are now in exile in Babylon. They have experienced God's wrath, and they are slaves. Their beloved holy city of Jerusalem has been destroyed. It is in ruins. They are down. They are out. They are despondent. They are without hope. Yeah, they now believe in God, all right. But their God had abandoned them because they had abandoned God. The people no longer need to hear about pending judgment and punishment because they were now living it. They were experiencing God's judgment and punishment. So God again sends his servant, the prophet Isaiah, and he has a new message for them. The message is, you people, you may be down, you may be feeling out right now, but they that wait upon the Lord, those that bind themselves to the Lord and serve him, they shall renew their strength. Not only will they receive new strength in their adversity, but they will soar like eagles. They will not grow weary, as you may now feel weary. They shall walk tall. They shall never faint. Wait on the Lord. And so in Isaiah part 2, beginning in this chapter 40, the language soars with majestic eloquence and offers the people this amazing and wondrous hope in the Lord. Preacher and author Maxie Dunham, he phrased this far better than I could, and he wrote, "For splendour of imagery, for majesty and elevation, the 40th chapter of Isaiah is one of the supreme things in literature." The author was not simply an exile, he was a slave who had known the dungeon and the fetter. Any person who is feeling down, low, depressed at any stage of their life, feeling abandoned by God, and sometimes we feel that way, this is the chapter of the whole Bible for them. It begins with words of great hope. Comfort, comfort my people, says our God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed. And then come those strong words of confidence and reassurance that are ours in the Lord our God. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of God stands forever. The word of God stands forever. When you get home, get your Bible out and read chapter 40 of Isaiah. It is inspiring. It will lift you. It will inspire you. Do that. Read it again. And so this magnificent chapter reaches its remarkable climax in verse 31. And I don't know whether you noticed or not, but the wording of the new NIV version of the Bible gives a slight change there. Those who wait on the Lord has become those who hope in the Lord. Those who hope in the Lord. We're getting nearer to a closer translation to what Isaiah was getting at in his original words. And what God is saying here is quite clear. Those who are in readiness to serve the Lord, those who serve him and have hope and have faith in the Lord, no matter what's going on around them at that particular time, no matter what the circumstances are, they will always have strength and a magnificent source of strength in the Lord our God. They will not just plod wearily through life. They will soar, and their lives will have style and meaning. And what an amazing contrast to part one of the book of Isaiah. What an encouraging and uplifting message. There was once a gentleman's hairdresser. I think we call them a barber. And this particular guy was a downright misery. He was depressing. He was negative about absolutely everything. And the man in the barber's chair told him that he was uptight, bright and really happy. He was going on a trip to Europe. Where are you going to? Asked the barber. Well, he says, first of all, we're going to London. You won't like it there, the barber said. In fact, you'll hate it. It's a terrible place. Dirty, expensive. You should go somewhere else. The man says, we are going somewhere else. After London, we're going to Paris. Paris, the man said. Awful place. You better watch out. They'll get your wallet. They'll have your wallet off you. And they're not friendly, those people in Paris. You won't like Paris. Are you going anywhere else? Well, he says, we plan to finish our trip by flying on to Rome. Rome? Rome is the absolute worst place of all, he said. It's awful. And don't go near the Vatican. Waste of time. Huge crowds. And you'll never get to see the Pope. And even if you did, besides, he can't even speak English. So you'd imagine this poor man couldn't wait to get out of the barber shop and get off on his holiday. And after the holiday was over, the time came round where the man needed a haircut again, and he comes into the barber shop, and the barber, he says, I bet you're glad to be home. I warned you, didn't I? I was right, wasn't I? And the man said, London was beautiful and exciting. Paris was amazing, the most friendly people anywhere. And Rome was absolutely outstanding. What a great climax to our fantastic trip. And he said, you know what? We even had an audience with the Pope. And it was perfect. And the man says, what? The Pope? What did he say? And the man says, well, he says, he placed his hands on my head and he blessed me and he leaned down and he whispered in my ear in perfect English, boy, that's a lousy haircut. I tell you this story quite simply because there are people in the world who are like that barber, and we all come across them from time to time. People who do not see the world as it really is. People get themselves into a deep rut. They become negative about everything and about everyone. And they tend to drag everyone down with them. You know, you feel depressed when you're in the presence of a person like that. So why? I mean, have these people turned away from God? Have these people ever known God? Do they fail to see God's handiwork all around them? Are they not inspired by the works and by the good deeds of their friends? Through the prophet Isaiah, God speaks, and he says, "To whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal?" says the Holy One. "Lift up your eyes, look at the heavens. Who created all of these? He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls forth each of them by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing." And in that same chapter, in verse 27, it says this: "You people say, 'God pays no attention to us. He doesn't care.'" Did you ever hear yourself saying words like that? We say things like, "If God is so wonderful and so powerful, how do things go wrong in this world?" You know, we all have moments like these. Let me give you an analogy from the great Presbyterian preacher, Henry Ward Beecher. Beecher the preacher. He said this: "If the architect of a house had one plan for the house, and the building contractor had another plan, a different plan, his own plan, what conflict there would be in the construction of that house. How many walls would have to come down? How many doors and windows would need to be altered before the architect and the contractor could be in harmony? In the building of your life, God is the architect and you are the contractor. God the architect has a perfect plan for your life. He is the master. It is the master plan. But it will only work if the contractor is in harmony with the architect. When the contractor is out of sync with the architect, things go wrong." Is it so strange that life goes wrong for so many people? This is God's world. We are God's people. God is the creator and the architect of everything. How much smoother life would be if the contractor, you and I, would follow the plan of the architect. But alas, we dream. Isaiah reminds us that those who wait and hope in the Lord, they will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and they will never grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Thanks be to God. Amen. When I got the hymns from Elmer for the approach choruses, I looked at them and the third one was in the garden. And I said to Iris, "Elmer's chosen a funeral hymn for one of the approach choruses. And we're gonna end our worship this morning with a hymn that is often regarded as a funeral hymn, or one of the hymns that we end with. And we stand and we really sing to God's glory, "How great thou art, how great thou art." The stars
His son, be his.
forward to seeing you all next Saturday evening for our little dessert theatre presentation. And I would ask you to please say a little prayer this week for the players in the play as they work hard at rehearsals and still trying to learn their parts. Ada? Let us pray. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all and all whom we love, this day and forevermore.